Hey, Kalamazoo, it's Tuesday night, and you're listening to the Audio Bijou Wider Week Edition. I'm one of your hosts, Jake, and I'm sitting in the studio with Zach and Ben, as always.
Hello.
Hi there.
If you're just joining us, every Tuesday night we come on the air and do a show. That's all about what's happening in the movies, and we play music from the movies. There's trivia, and there's entertainment, and it's a show you only find over here on WIDR. Which is one of the points we'll be highlighting throughout the evening as we continue our wider week efforts to raise money for the station that you're listening to right now.
Yes, if you're just tuning in, you need to know the number to call if you'd like to make a donation. It's 387-6303. Or you can go online to wider.org and make your donation over the internet.
Yeah, everything's going on the internet these days. I highly recommend you go check out the site. It's if you haven't been there in a while, it's got some good stuff on there that is a lot different than it used to be.
Yeah, it's so. Your guide to all things wider, including our wider week events for this evening.
Which, of course, include... we'll be taking calls with your donations all week, all night long.
387-6303.
I started giving my home phone number.
If you
want to call me. Yeah.
And give him a donation.
Yeah. No, but no, definitely call us here at the station. And one of the reasons we do take donations is because WIDR is a non-commercial,
non-profit, student-run.
And you've got shows like ours.
Well, yeah, I mean, our management is students. We're not students anymore.
We used to be.
We're a complete volunteer organization.
It's a volunteer gig, and one of the great things about that is they're able to bring you all sorts of music you're not going to hear on your regular big-time commercial radio stations, independent music, or offbeat specialty shows like, say, our show, that if you tune in every week, you get to hear all sorts of great stuff from different movie soundtracks and learn about the different movie soundtracks.
Right, and also find out about movie news, including the weekly box office roundup.
That's
which,
right. We still have
a show to do.
Of course, we do our show here on Natty Bijou on Tuesday night because Tuesday is the big turning point in the week for movies. It's DVDs come out today. Final box office figures come out today on Tuesday. So, I mean, we're right there in the middle of it. And this week's no different. 10,000 BC, the Warner Brothers
caveman
Ice Age type Mastodon meets man epic spectacle. Tech.
Basically, it's three teen angels short of being Captain Caveman the movie, from what I understand.
Yeah.
I would go to that.
I let my enthusiasm fizzle on this one, because it is a $35 million for 10,000 BC.
Yeah, pretty much what they expected, but nowhere near the $70,300,000 made the same weekend last year.
Right.
But it was number one overseas also, dragging in $26 million in foreign lands.
But last year we had 300 come out of nowhere and make $70 million, and it raised all sorts of questions like when do summer movies start, and this whole like can they start is spring and the new summer.
You know what? All 300 did was prove that there are no small weekends, only small movies.
That's right.
Yep.
And 10,000 BC was no small movie. I mean, you saw the ads.
Oh, huge. Yeah, woolly mammoths.
Galore.
Martin Lawrence comes in number. Two, with College Road Trip, that's $13 million. Vantage Point, which is number two last week, comes number three, $7 million. The Bank Job debuts in number four slot for Lionsgate, $5.9 million. I think they were hoping to do a little better.
They weren't on that many screens, though, yeah.
Yeah.
Went about 1,500 screens.
Semi-Pro took a big dip here this week. It was number one with a big weekend last week. Gave New Line one last hit before they bowed. But they drop all the way to number five in their second week out. There's a bit of a drop-off. Spiderwick, number six. The Other Bowling Girl, number seven. That drops a bit too. Jumper, number eight. Step Up Two, The Streets, number nine. Rounding out the ten is Fool's Gold. One thing else to mention, not cracking the top ten in its debut, Miss Pettigrew Lives for a Day from Focus Features, which, granted, was only on 535 screens.
Yeah, look for that to do more business when it opens wider.
Barely a drop. Comes in number 11 with $2 million.
Right.
Hopefully we'll see a bigger push for that one with the stars.
Right. As we said at the top of the show, we here at the Audio Bijou play music from the movies, and tonight Because we love animation, and with B-Movie arriving on DVD today, Horton Hears a Who opening in theaters this Friday, and DreamWorks Summer offering Kung Fu Panda premiering at Show West tonight, we thought it'd be the perfect time to visit the craft of animation. But rather than concentrate on today's computer-animated consumer product tie-in-driven blockbuster tentpoles, however, we thought we'd take a look back at animation's ink and paint ancestry and the maverick filmmakers who fueled the medium 30 years ago. In the time period between Walt Disney's death and the company's resurgence with The Little Mermaid, the company had a creative and box office slump. But animation itself still thrived creatively, thanks to directors like Don Bluth, Will Vinton, Katsuhiro Otomo?
Yes.
The production pair of Rankin and Bass. These people proved that animation is a medium rather than a genre, creating films that were anything but the typical Disney fare, tackling complex themes of morality, mortality, and in the process, creeping the hell out of me as a little kid. So tonight, because we love animation, because one of our routine listeners called in and requested it, we're going to highlight some of the Disney alternatives from the 70s and 80s. You definitely won't hear that anywhere but wider.
And that's right. And while we're listening to some of these great creepy tracks of our youth, while we're in the music breaks, it's a great time to call 387-6303 and make a donation. Let me just break down a couple of the donation incentives that you can get for making the donation, because not only are you getting making a donation to I think it's, you know, put on your taxes, but you also get some great gifts if you send us some cash. $30 donation, not a lot when you think about it. For a whole year of Radio Evolution, you get a wider mug or drink glass, wider sticker and a patch. $45 will get you an awesome new wider t-shirt. You can check those designs out on the website, wider.org. They're a little different than you've seen in the past years. They're pretty cool, so check those out. You also get a wider mug or drink glass, wider sticker and a patch. And if you make the great donation, 89.1, where have I heard that number before? Oh, yeah, it's a call. Numbers, $89.10, get the wider t-shirt, wider mug or drink glass, wider sticker, and a patch. And you get to adopt a DJ for an entire shift on the radio, which means you get to come in here, you get to help pick the music, you get to hang out with somebody, live the radio
dream.
Yeah. You can even adopt us if you want, if you really like movies and you think our opinions stink.
Yeah, come in and give your own 2 cents.
You give out us $89.10, you get to make a donation to a great cause, and you get to hang out with the three of us and tell us why you think we're a bunch of...
You know, I feel like I should pay you guys $89.10 every time I hang out with you.
I know, it's...
Oh, I've been tallying it. I've been keeping tabs, Zach.
$89.10 is a bargain to hang out with us. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, well, we started off the show with the song Kaneda's theme from the creepy 1988 film Akira, which still haunts my dreams. We're going to move on with the theme from The Secret of Nim, as sung by Paul Williams, who you might remember from The Muppet Show, and composed by Jerry Goldsmith, the legendary composer. So this is Flying Dreams.
Dream by night, wish by day, love begins this way. Loving starts when open hearts touch and stay. Sleep for now, dreaming's how lovers' lives are planned. Future songs and flying dreams, hand in hand. Love, it seems, made flying dreams so hearts could soar. Heaven sent, these wings were meant to prove once more that love is the key. Love is the key. You and I touch the sky, the eagle and the dove. Nightingales, we keep our sails filled with love and love. love, it seems, made flying dreams to bring you home to me. Love, it seems, made flying dreams so hearts could soar. Heaven sent, these wings were meant to prove once more that love is the key. Love is the key. You and I touch the sky, the eagle and the dove. Nightingales, we keep our sails filled with love. Ever strong, our future song, to sing it must be free. Every part is from the heart, and love is still the key. And love, it seems, made flying dreams to bring you home to me.
That was Flying Dreams, as sung by Paul Williams, who you might remember from the Muppet Movie, or from Smokey and the Bandit, or from Battle for the Planet of the Apes. But he also has a marvelous singing voice.
That's what I remember him from.
And we
Battle for the Planet
from,
of the Apes.
Yep. Yeah, we heard him from The Secret of NIMH.
Finally put your finger on it.
Yep.
One of the movies from the late 70s, early 80s that really creeped out kids back then.
It still creeps me out, really. I mean, like, that whole sequence where they talk about the experimenting on the rats. And the whole,
and then they get sucked down the air shaft. Yeah, yes, definitely. Well, it's now
those
time.
Those eyes popping out of the darkness when they go in the rose bush.
It is now time for our weekly screen test trivia question, where we ask you, our listening audience, how much you know about the movies. And for this question, we look at Roland Emmerich, who scored big this past weekend with 10,000 BC. He honed his distinct brand of brainless special effects-laden sci-fi blockbuster, PAP, throughout the early 90s with moderate hits like Universal Soldier, Stargate, and eventually his biggest hit, Independence Day. Independence Day, however, wasn't originally called Independence Day. Before a legal dispute with another studio that owned the rights to the title was settled, ID4 was originally going to be called something else, and it wasn't even set to open on July 4th weekend. What was the original title of Independence Day? If you know, you can call in if you want and make a donation, 387-6303. Find out if you're right. If not, just stay tuned. We'll have the answer for you before the end of tonight's show. Even if you don't know the answer, you still might want to call in, or go to our website and make a donation.
That's right, 387-6303.
Or wider.org.
Wider.org, that's a great place to go. You know, everything's on the internet these days. And if you want to go, if you don't feel like talking to somebody over the phone, you don't feel like using the computer, you can always head down to Harvey's on the mall tonight. Wider's hosting a big party over there. There's going to be a bunch of live DJs, and there's
contests
and prizes, and you can...
I don't know what the contests are. I assume they're like a test of skill and strength.
That's all starting at 8 o'clock, so you have plenty of time to get down there before it starts. Bring your cash or your checkbook and make a donation there. Then you can see actually where your money goes and as you meet and greet the people who bring you... Radio Evolution on WIDR every week. That's a and if maybe you just want to log onto the website and make a donation, that's always, I think, the least confrontational thing. If you fear people and you stay at home every night just listening to the radio,
which is is a nice thing to do.
That's how I would do it.
If you're listening to our program. Okay, speaking of listeners of our program, one of them called in last week and requested this song, And so that's why we're doing tonight's show all about animation from the late 70s, early 80s.
And it has nothing to do with Zach having all this music anyway and like waiting weeks and weeks like someday I'm going to get to play.
I was actually.
he's got that Secret of NIMH track and he's like, someday it's going to work into a show. And then some caller calls in and is like, you know, I really like The Land Before Time. And Zach was like,
yes,
that's the stuff.
Speaking of The Land Before Time, that's our next track. It is Diana Ross singing. James Horner, the famed and Academy Award winning music composer, did the score for that movie. The song is called If We Hold On Together, from The Land Before Time, going out to one of our listeners. Thanks for listening.
387-6303, that's the number to call if you want to make a donation while we're listening to this track. So I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah, enjoy it. We'll be back with What's New to Theaters right after this.
Live your story.
You know, listening to that, it's you forget that before Land Before Time was a 20 DVDs into its
direct-to-DVD sequel factory.
It was a huge, Disney-bashing theatrical event.
Yeah, it teamed up Don Bluth, the former Disney animator turned Maverick independent filmmaker director, along with George Lucas and Steven Spielberg for one of the big event movies of the year.
You know, I totally remember that was a big old, family. And keeping with the theme of movies that really negatively affected you as a child. I mean, man, the sadness.
Yeah.
A little too much
Even like the color palette in that movie, it's very muted and adds this in the landscape that they go across. It's all about the extinction of the dinosaurs.
Yeah. And, just like the isolation and it wasn't the fun hearted romp.
Don't forget the bad guy.
Oh, yeah, Sharptooth?
My God.
It wasn't like that lighthearted desolation of, say, Ice Age. It was like, it was the real deal stuff. Like, dinosaurs dead, Littlefoot abandoned.
Yeah, his parents were dead.
Yeah.
Or maybe they showed up in the sequel, but anyway.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of the sequels, but it all came flooding back because I hadn't thought of that movie in a long time.
Yeah, we'd like to thank the viewer or the listener who called in to request that last week. And if you happen to be a listener with an active streak and want to interact with your radio, give us a call at 387-6303 and donate for Wider Week.
And if you really want to get involved, you can call up, donate $89.10, and you could adopt the show if you so choose, and then we'd be forced to play what you want to hear.
Yes.
As long as it's from the movies, because, that's what the show's all about.
Right. Yep. Speaking of the movies, it's time to look at what's new to theaters this upcoming Friday, and leading off the list is Horton Hears a Who. Blue Sky, the animation studio responsible for Ice Age and Robots, adapts the classic Dr. Seuss tale with, of course, some augmentation to stretch the 22-page children's story to a 90 minutes of flashy celebrity-voiced pop culture reference-spewing computer-animated entertainment. Jim Carrey voices Horton, the elephant who's faithful 100%, while Steve Carell voices the mayor of Whoville, the microscopic world that somehow still celebrates the birth of Christ. Horton defends the tiny speck of a civilization against annihilation with the constant credo of a person's a person, no matter how small. This ultra-conservative right-to-life stance earns him the scorn of the jungle's strong pro-choice faction. Comedy It Boys Seth Rogen and Jonah Hill also star. Horton Hears a Who, rated PG.
A lot of referential points in there. Whoville was the setting for The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, which...
They're microscopic, but they know about Jesus.
And, I don't know about the right-to-life allegory, but...
A person's a person, no matter how small. How else can you interpret that?
I don't know.
Horton's a right-to-lifer.
It could be. I don't know. But this is... This is definitely, I think, stretches the limits.
It can't be any worse than The Cat in the Hat or The Grinch.
But yet it still has Jim Carrey as Horton.
I want to see like a little cameo in the movie in Whoville of him playing The Grinch as well.
That would be nice. Just like tie it all together.
Yeah.
I was never a big Horton fan as a kid. It wasn't one of my favorite Seuss books. I don't like how jam-packed with... Carol Burnett's in there. A couple other people that you see, just like the...
Yeah, Will Arnett is playing the buzzard.
I really get tired of voice actors who kind of overtake the character they're playing.
Yeah, I think...
That's why I don't like Jim Carrey in this.
Blue Sky was hedging their bets because I don't think enough of today's kids... They're familiar with Horton.
But they know who Jim Carrey is?
Maybe if... their parents do, at least. Yeah. Maybe if this is successful enough, we can see them do Horton Hatches the Egg.
Well, if your kids don't like Horton Hears a Who, you can always take them to see Doomsday.
You know what I love about my favorite, I gotta say one thing, my favorite Dr. Seuss tale, I will never have to worry about seeing a movie version of Sneetches on Beaches, because I don't know how you can fill an hour and a half with Sneetches going back and forth between stars on Thars and not.
How can you fill a movie with any of it, but they seem to?
But that one's...
Hey man, you can make a full-length Lorax and I'd be there in 2 seconds.
Okay, well, you mentioned Doomsday, and it's our next film to talk about. Writer-director Neil Marshall follows up his critically acclaimed action horror movie The Descent with Doomsday, a sort of 28 Days Later meets Mad Max sort of story, with a select team of scientists and special forces sent into the devastated remains of Scotland 25 years prior to the setting of the film, the region was ravaged by a killer virus that threatened to wipe out all of the UK before the decision to wall off the country staved off the disease. Now with the virus re-emerging in London, the decision has been made to investigate the now decimated dystopian country to research the natural immunity of the survivors for a cure. But the savage remnants of Scotland aren't exactly accepting to visitors and solicitation, having devolved into a violent medieval tribalism. Marshall was inspired to create this movie by the ancient attempts by the Romans to rope off the untamed country with Hadrian's Wall. He was looking at the ruins and thought, what if that happened today? Malcolm McDowell and Bob Hoskins star, as well as the always on the cusp of being famous Rona Mitra, whose butt you can see prominently featured in the trailer. Doomsday is rated R.
Are you sure when he was looking at Hadrian's Wall and he wasn't looking at, say, maybe...
Rona Mitra's butt?
Mad Max or Escape from New York or 20 Days Later?
Well, I mean,
because this movie looks like if 28 Days Later and Escape from New York had a baby and it looked like Mad Max.
I still kind of want to see it.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, who doesn't kind of want to see Doomsday? I mean, it's kind of got that, hey, maybe. Oh, did that come out? vibe to it.
I don't know. You wait. I think next week we're going to see Horton Hears a Who getting some serious competition for number one.
Oh, yeah, I think so, too. I mean, I think this is definitely got that ripe for that spring kind of surprise hit in Doomsday. I mean, the stars aren't there, and it's kind of like very British, this movie, but I mean, that didn't hurt 20 Days Later or 28 Months Later or anything like that, so.
Or 300, for that matter.
Yeah, so.
Okay, our next film to talk about is Never Back Down. And in this one, a young man is forced to move to a new town and start a new school. He catches the eye of a pretty girl which runs afoul of a blonde-haired bully and his martial arts gang. After being beat up at a party, he seeks the help of a foreign-born martial arts master who mentors the boy and teaches him an important lesson about discipline, honor, and friendship. Oh, I'm sorry. I was reading the synopsis for The Karate Kid.
Yeah.
But Never Back Down is essentially the same thing, but with mixed martial arts replacing karate and Jaimon Hunsu playing the part of Mr. Miyagi. It's rated PG-13.
Jaimon Hunsu, what are you doing?
Academy Award nominee Jaimon Hunsu starring in something that MTV Films wouldn't touch.
It really worries me when I see him in things like this.
Or like Aragon?
Yeah. Well, you just got to figure he doesn't quite understand what he's signing up for.
He likes to work, I think.
keeps him busy.
Yeah, he's got that Michael Caine Academy Award nominee, but I like to work ethic.
Maybe he said, I really like what they were doing with The Karate Kid, but what can we do to make this a more serious piece?
You've thrown some MMA, of course. It's the hot trend, the MMA.
Yeah.
Just like karate was the hot thing back in 84.
It was pretty big. And admit it, you love Karate Kid.
Oh, yeah, sweep the leg, Johnny. Who doesn't love that movie? Okay, our final film is only opening in limited release, but I think bears mention. It is called Funny Games. Austrian writer-director Michael Hans Hennecke remakes his own 1997... I'm sorry, it's whenever a name comes up as being misspelled in Spellchecker, you always got to kind of wonder.
Yeah. You know,
Jaimon Hunsu's throwing that crazy, by the way. he remakes his own 1997 horror movie, the same name for American audiences, this time with Naomi Watts and Tim Roth starring as a vacationing couple who are terrorized by a pair of violent young men who attack the couple's summer cottage and put them through a series of sick, sadistic, gruelish games for survival.
Did you say this is Straw Dogs remake?
No, it's a remake of Funny Games.
Straw Dogs?
Also known as Funny. No, actually, you know, although you might think that it sounds a lot like Straw Dogs, this is actually much more tongue-in-cheek and plays out kind of like a game show. The film is a shot-for-shot remake of the innovative fourth-wall-breaking Austrian original, which, you know, has a lot of winks and nudges to the camera where the people torturing are, you know, kind of goofing off, and it's kind of putting the audience in this uncomfortable position of how much are we watching violence for entertainment kind of thing. It's rated R, by the way, in case you couldn't tell by the description or the screaming soundtrack.
Yeah.
Well, that does it for movies opening in theaters this upcoming Friday. If you're not going to be going to the movies this Friday, perhaps you'll want to check out the events Wider's got scheduled. Go to wider.org for all the details for our full Wider Week schedule. Or if you'd rather just sit home and listen to some radio, feel free to do that. We'll have plenty of stuff going on the air, including a continuation of Wider Week. Feel free to give us a call.
387-6303, that's the number to call. And tonight's event features a party down at Harvey's on the Mall. You can check out the website for directions on how to get there. That starts at 8 o'clock. They're going to have prizes and games and meet the DJs, and that's going to be a general good time down there. And you can make a donation when you get down there, or you can give us a call, 387-6303, or go to the internet.
Wider.org. Yes.
And always a good time to make that donation is when we're in the middle of a song break with one of our great Only Find It on Wider tunes.
Yes, especially with this next one is one you'll never find anywhere else, I believe. It is from one of the creepiest movies ever made, The Adventures of Mark Twain. It was Will Vinton, the guy who did the California Raisins, invented claymation and everything, did this interesting amalgamation of the works of Mark Twain, which has Mark Twain piloting an airship to meet Halley's Comet, basically to kill himself.
Yeah, meet his maker.
Right, meet his maker, accompanied by Huck, Tom, and Becky Thatcher. And they encounter such works as The Mysterious Stranger, which, as we all know from being literary scholars, is Satan. They meet Satan, who appears in this creepy form, says that he's an angel, creates little clay people, and then passionlessly destroys them for his own amusement.
In front of the eyes of Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn, in an outer space spaceship.
In a children's movie.
Floating on an asteroid. If there weren't drugs involved in this...
You just made that up.
This haunts my dreams to stay. It's an absolute nightmare.
But it is an awesome movie. I mean...
Yeah, it's totally cool. I mean, I probably watched it like 600 times. We had it on VHS, and we just like wore it to the bare bones. But like, man, this thing, just thinking about it actually gives me creeps. Particularly this segment that you're talking about. I can't even stand it. I can't believe you brought this on the show.
Well, we're going to listen to the final theme from it by a man named Billy Scream. It is the final theme to The Adventures of Mark Twain.
Destiny was clear. The comet leaves today.
That was the theme from The Adventures of Mark Twain, one of the few children's movies to be innovative enough to include Satan as a character and a man going off to commit suicide as the major plot theme.
Yeah, if you have the opportunity to check this one out, see it anywhere, I highly recommend it.
Yeah, it's a beautiful film. Claymation is a real artistry, and they have very expressive character designs. It's really cool.
Yeah, I don't know if it comes across, but Zach and I were really into Claymation at the time, and like we rented anything that was Will Vinton based, and that was like one we went return to again and again. And yes, definitely there were parts that still give you nightmares, but totally awesome.
Okay, again, it's Wider Week. If you have a donation to make for us, go ahead and give us a call, 387-6303, or go on the internet, wider.org.
We're ready to believe you.
Yes.
That was my...
Now it's our portion in this in the show where we look at the new DVD releases. Every Tuesday, new DVDs come out, and if you listen to our show, you know that already, and with that, we go to Ben.
Got a pretty big week this week, aside from B-Movie, the point of this show, one of the points. We've got the Academy Award winner of this year, No Country for Old Men, comes out today.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't play music from that because it has no music.
I know. I had to skip it. We've also got the aforementioned B-Movie in regular, and I believe it's a Jerry Seinfeld special edition. It's like Jerry's movie special edition.
Does that one contain the actual jokes?
Yeah, I had so much faith in him before I saw this movie, and then you realize, you know what? Stand-up really is his forte, and not movies.
Yeah.
Except for the movie that he made about stand-up, which was okay, but this one, it's like it's done in the style of a joke, but it's not actually funny. Anyway.
We've also got Dan in Real Life with Steve Carell and Juliette Binoche. August Rush.
And Jane Cook.
I skipped that.
Okay, good.
Yeah. August Rush with Freddie Highmore, Kerry Russell, and Jonathan Rhys-Meyers. You know what's really weird is
and Robin Williams.
I skipped that.
Okay, good.
You know what's really weird is ever since that Waitress movie, I always think Kerry Russell's the one that died.
Yeah,
instead of the director, Adrian Watts, I believe.
Yeah.
Yep, anyway. We've also got Hitman with Timothy Olyphant.
Whose name is also, I believe, one of the mythical creatures from The Lord of the Rings.
It is. Nice little sequitur there, Zach. That comes out in unrated edition.
I knew the MPAA was holding that movie back.
I'm pretty sure they just skip the rated editions these days and go straight to the unrated. We've also got Nancy Drew starring Emma Roberts.
In an unrated edition, I hope?
Yes, just for you, Zach. And the Sci-Fi Channel movie of the week, or actually miniseries, Tin Man, comes out this week. In the category I like to call was that in theaters, we've got Sleuth.
Yes, it was.
Michael Caine and Jude Law.
I've been looking forward to this. It never came around to our town. It's a remake of a classic movie.
Mm-hmm. Starring Michael Caine, right?
And Michael Caine has reverse roles. He played the young man in the original. He plays the older character in the new version. I'm very anxious to see this.
Oh, cool. In the direct-to-DVD, we've got Stargate, The Ark of Truth.
Okay.
That's it. In classic ratio, we've got Gattaca Special Edition.
I love Gattaca.
Well, you can go out and buy it today
and
in
you
Special
know what?
Edition.
If you're a fan of science and biology, you know that the name Gattaca is kind of a pun on the sequence.
Building blocks of DNA.
Yeah, adenine, thymine, and guanine, if I remember my biology correctly.
Nerd.
What's the C?
Cytosine.
Oh. We've also got body...
I studied... Whoa.
If you're a biologist out there and you want to make a donation and correct Zach, 387-6303. I'm just going to throw it out there.
I think he's correct.
I'm going to throw it out there.
I'm right, though.
Not only does he have the Land Before Time soundtrack, he also knows the building blocks of human life.
And the Gattaca,
Renaissance man.
Yeah. Oh, we've also got Bobby Deerfield with Al Pacino and Daisy Kenyon, a movie I've never heard of, with Joan Crawford and Henry Fonda. On TV and DVD, we've got The Mod Squad Season 1, Volume 2, Love American Style Season 1, Volume 2, Fantastic Four, The World's Greatest Heroes, Volume 3, 5 Days, the HBO miniseries, and Sam and Max, Freelance Police, the entire series.
Sweet.
They're cool.
Okay, speaking of cool cartoons, up next, we're going to take a look at the great production team of Rankin and Bass. You might remember them from your childhood with... Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reynolier, the perennial favorite at Christmas time. But if you don't know this, they went on after that to do not only the stop motion animation stuff, but to do some traditional animation with such movies as The Last Unicorn, yikes, The Hobbit and Return of the King,
The Hobbit,
and eventually on TV in the 80s, Thundercats and Silverhawks. And we're going to listen to the main theme from The Hobbit, which really ups that late 70s, early 80s creep factor.
That
with
creeps me out.
The voice of Gollum, played by Brother Timothy. If you thought Gollum's portrayal in the Lord of the Rings trilogy was creepy, take a look at the animated version. He is disgusting.
It's really really bizarre that they made the Hobbit and Return of the King and did not have Fellowship or Two Towers made an animated, which is, I think it has something to do with licensing. I read up a lot about it when New Line was making their versions, and a lot of people hold a great affection for these old animated versions. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, without further ado, here's Glenn Yarborough.
Can I just make one further ado real quick?
Okay, that's why they invented the pause button, I guess.
Just one real ado. Okay. I just want to mention one more time. You can make a donation to us for Wider Week at 387-6303. That's a phone number. We got somebody standing by, sitting on the phone. Give them a call or log on to the website, WIDR.org.
Yes.
Lots of information there involving what we're doing all week, raise money for the station. Keep shows like ours on the air, where you will only find bizarro musical selections.
Like Glenn Yarborough singing The Greatest Adventure from The Hobbit.
The greatest adventure is there if you're bold. Let go of the moment that life makes you whole. To measure the meaning can make you delay. Time you stop thinking and wasting the day. The man who's a dreamer and never takes leave, who thinks of a world that is just make-believe, will never know passion, will never know pain, who sits by the window rain. The greatest adventure is what lies ahead. Today and tomorrow are yet to be said. The chances, the changes are all yours to make. The mold of your life is in your hands to break. The greatest adventure is what lies ahead.
You know, I might be wrong, but I think the greatest adventure is calling 387-6303 and pledging for Wider Week.
I think the greatest adventure is coming here every week and keeping this fledgling little radio station on the air. On the bootstrap, you know, we got no money over here. Everything's falling apart. This is where I get in the sob story. This place. Yeah.
Well, we've got a proud tradition of decades of radio, which you can see in our equipment.
Yes, that's true. Just to let you know, so a few of the things that your donations go towards is upkeep and maintenance of this student-run radio station. It's all volunteer based, and it's all you know, supported in the community and the local student. And if you are a fan of the other the radio stations, don't forget that the people who run those radio stations had to start somewhere, and they all get to start running stations like WIDR and learning the ropes here and turning into professional big time radio bigwigs. Yeah. And so
we're like the learning hospital on House. On TV.
You like that on TV? And just if you just want stuff, if you're, you know, if you want to see your money, how does it help you? Don't forget, if you make those donations at the various $30, you get the Wider mug or drink glass, sticker and patch. $45, get that new Wider t-shirt, mug, or drink glass, Wider sticker and patch.
Those shirts are always awesome, by the way.
Yeah, I always tell everyone else around town that you're cool, you listen to stuff that they're not listening to, and check out those.
Should be.
That's right. check out this website, the website, WIDR.org. They have the designs right on the front page. As soon as you load up, you'll see them right there. There's two different designs to choose from, so look at those. It's $45. And, of course, the always great value, $89.10. Get the T-shirt, the mug, sticker, the patch, and you can adopt a DJ, so you can pick your favorite show.
The audio beats you.
Yeah, you could pick us. I'm telling you, you could be on the air with us, picking music and giving us your opinion and shaping our show, because, usually we're here at the Iron Fist of Zach, whatever he wants.
Right. Speaking
but it could be whatever you want.
Speaking of my Iron Fist, it's time for Screen Test Trivia.
All right.
Yes. If you didn't hear it earlier, here it is again. Tonight we're looking at Roland Emmerich, who scored big this past weekend with 10,000 BC. He honed his distinct brand of brainless special effects-laden sci-fi blockbuster pap throughout the early 90s and had moderate hits like Universal Soldier, Stargate, and eventually his biggest hit, Independence Day. Independence Day, however, wasn't originally called Independence Day. Before a legal battle with another studio that owned the rights to that title was settled, ID4 was going to be called something else, and it wasn't even set to open on July 4th weekend. What was the original title of Independence Day? If you know, you can give us a call here at 387-6303. Why not pledge while you're at it? If not, stay tuned. We'll have the answer for you before the end of tonight's show. Up next, another track from the production team of Rankin and Bass. This one is by America, and it is the main theme to The Last Unicorn, which features the creepy, as I'll get out, flaming Red Bull and King Haggard, who controls him. Yes. If you're not familiar with this film, check it out. It was actually animated by the animation studio in Japan that eventually became Studio Ghibli, the Academy Award-winning animation studio that did, like, Howl's Moving Castle.
And Princess Mononoke, yeah. And Spirited Away.
Yes. All done with the production design and story direction of Rankin and Bass. That was America with the theme to The Last Unicorn, one of the creepy movies we're highlighting in our animation festival for this evening. Speaking of creepiness, well, I don't know if it's that creepy, but Roland Emmerich, he made some moderate hits before he actually scored big with Independence Day. Independence Day wasn't originally called Independence Day, though. It had a different title and wasn't supposed to open on July 4th weekend. What was the original title of Independence Day?
I was going to be working on a hilarious Shadow Stevens-esque response to this all show.
Yeah.
But I got so wrapped up in the Wide Awake stuff, I forgot to. So.
How about Labor Day?
Yeah, okay.
Could have been Labor Day.
It does end in day.
Really?
And I'll give Judgment you a hint. They took about 10 years to recycle the title.
Day After Tomorrow?
No, Doomsday.
Really?
Yeah, the original title of Independence Day was supposed to be a May release, and it was originally supposed to be called Doomsday, but they fought hard, got the rights, and now Doomsday is opening this Friday.
Hmm. Nice tie-in, Zach.
Yeah, I thought so. Well, that does it for us here on the Audio Bijou tonight. You want to stay tuned. Up next is Blues Power. He's got a special Wider Week event of live music here on the air. So stay tuned. Call in. Pledge. Blues Power. Unique show. You won't hear anywhere else.
Get down to Harvey's. They're down there having a party starting in the next couple of minutes. That's a Wider sponsored event. And taking us out of here is one last movie that scarred us as children, took our heroes and blasted them to pieces. Transformers the movie. Another great piece of 80s animation that, when Optimus Prime bit it.
You've got a planet-eating monster that destroys billions and turns Megatron into a purple nightmare.
Your cartoon hero swearing. I mean, is there anything else that could more traumatizing than...
Perhaps the soundtrack, which we're going to play you a selection. This is Stan Bush with Dare. Thanks for listening. Make sure and check us out on the web. Just search Audio Bijou in your Google search engine or go to wider.org.
This is WIDR 89.1 Kalamazoo. My name is Mike.